Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for the voices lifted up by this choir, by this congregation. God, accept our offering to you. Accept the love and the grace that we offer to you, God, knowing that it's the love and grace, God, that we offer to you, knowing that we are doing our best to imitate the love and grace you give to us. Amen. So, how do we move forward from here? Where do we go with this news that has unfolded over the last few hours? It was a frightening thing to wake up to, and I'm sure for most of you, as you started your day, so many of us, before even getting out of bed, have checked in with the world on our phones. And when Alan said to me this morning, there was a shooting at a club in Orlando, at first I was like, what? And then he said, yeah, like 20 people or so might be injured. And then the news, the numbers grew and the numbers grew, and you go through this cycle of trying to figure out what happened. And when you don't know the details, you fill it in. We don't know yet, but we are pretty safe to assume that this was a hate crime. And as it unfolds, it's turning out to be probably one of the worst hate crimes that this country has seen. I don't know about you, but I certainly thought about my younger days when I was in bars at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night. I did get a few texts from people I hadn't talked to in a very long time this morning, and I was like, trust me. I don't know what a bar at 2 a.m. looks like, but so no, I was not in Orlando 8 hours before church. But the truth is that I was there, not literally me, but other versions of me and other versions of you were in this bar. And it just as easily could have been any of us. One of my first thoughts was, knowing that we do have some folks who do love to go out and enjoy the nightlife, thank God we had a huge event here last night that probably kept some people in Tampa instead of going to Orlando last night. But we also know that it just as easily could be a news report that we're reading that happened in Ybor City. Just as easily. And it is too close to home. Whenever this happens, it hurts us. Not just because we are empathic people, which we are. We are empathic. We can feel other people's pain. But this is an assault on us. Whether you're gay or not, as human beings, this is an assault on us. It brings up the trauma of our own pasts, and I know so many of you well, and I've heard so many stories of people's past trauma, of gay bashing and discrimination, and all of that hurt that brings us here. So a tragedy like this, that opens those wounds also. And of course, I had prepared a different sermon today. I prepared a sermon that was a sort of feel-good rally cry around growing our gardens and how we're going to grow as a people, and I want you to go with me as we continue looking at how we are going to grow and flourish in a different way. This is one of those days that, for many of us, life is going to be divided into before and after this event happened. I imagine that by the end of today, the people in this room will have found out that you lost someone you love. I hate that that's a reality, but the fact that we are so close to where this tragedy happened and that the death toll is so high it is entirely possible that friends and lovers and people we know were there. And we are a church. And even if you don't know a single person who was in that club last night, what we do know is that that is our church. That church was dancing at 2 a.m., and that church was filled with bullets a few minutes later. These are our people. And who are we as a people? Is it too early in the hours after tragedy to remind ourselves that when everything is burned down, and we know about things being burned down, we know about our churches being burned down, we know about literally churches that met in bars being burned down. So is it too early to remind you that we are not the burnt out ashes, but we are what rises up? Are we a burnt out people, or are we a phoenix people? Are we a resurrection people? Again and again, we are reminded that we will rise up. When we are hurting, when we are tired, when we don't feel well, when we don't feel like being here in church, being here on this planet, we are reminded that we will rise up. When we are fed up, when we think we can't possibly take any more, when we feel that people hate us, when we see on the news day after day stories of people trying to hurt us, of people blowing a bathroom in Target just because a trans person would be allowed to pee there. We are not the people of ashes. We are the resurrection people. We exist for a reason. We are not some strange twist of fate. We are not accidentally here. We are here for a reason. And MCC is here for a reason. We are relevant. We exist. We are supposed to be here. One of the first things I saw this morning was a news story that it contained the tweets that people were putting on Twitter about this tragedy. And what I'm going to say is going to be hard to hear. I'm going to read two tweets to you. The first one said, "Someone is doing God's work in Orlando, feeling blessed, praising the shooter." They used the little emoji praying hands to make it all the more cute. If you don't think MCC exists for a reason, and if you don't think you belong in this room right now, think about that tweet. Think about the fact that people believe that nonsense, and we get to come here and find out something that is true about God's love and God's work. And I'll tell you what, there is something true about that tweet. Someone is doing God's work in Orlando. It wasn't the person holding the gun. But there are hundreds of people right now doing God's work in Orlando. There are emergency rooms that are filled to capacity. There are chaplains, there are nurses and doctors, there are techs, there are people driving ambulances. They are doing God's work in Orlando. Right now, the MCC Church in Orlando is having a worship service. They are doing God's work in Orlando. So while he was on the wrong track, his words were true. Someone is doing God's work in Orlando. The next tweet said, "I wonder how much of the blood splattered at Pulse, the name of the club, is HIV positive." This is why we exist, people. This is why we're here. Because you would think in this day and age we would have some more respect and not jump to that. Yeah, some of that blood was HIV positive, some of it was negative, and it doesn't matter. Again, what matters is this community that is devastated, the lives lost, the people whose lives will never be the same, positive or negative. It doesn't matter what someone's HIV status is. And we know that as MCC because we carried this country through the AIDS years in an amazing way. and a lot of the compassion that this world knows, especially in this country, around HIV and around healthcare, comes from our community. So I don't care, I don't wonder how much of the blood splattered was HIV positive blood or negative blood. I care that there were lives lost and that this tragedy happened that inspired such a heartless tweet. I'm reading things from Twitter because they actually do matter. It seems ephemeral and fleeting and silly, this website where you can only post one or two sentences at a time, but it matters because each time we hear these messages, it takes away a little bit of who we are. And so I'm sharing them to show that they don't hurt us. This does not hurt us. This shows us that we are a people that will rise up. The scripture today tells us two things: to thrive and grow. What's interesting about that is the order in which Paul and Timothy say to thrive and grow. It says to produce fruit and then grow. In our children's lesson today, Ezekiel very helpfully explained to us in wonderful detail how plants grow. So how is it possible to bear fruit, to blossom, to have flowers before we grow? Don't we need to grow first? The scripture says, first we thrive, then we grow. Can a flower bloom if the plant has not yet grown to its full potential? I think it can. I think that this message is telling us that our work is not done. And what happened this morning is certainly an illustration of that. Our work in this world is not done.
Amen.
Amen. And yet we can still thrive, we can still bloom, and we can continue to grow. The scripture then goes on and gets a little bit more confusing. The writer tells us that we should be holy people and live in a way worthy of the gospel. This is confusing because doesn't Paul and doesn't Timothy, don't they know that church is hard and messy? Don't they know that it is very difficult to live this life that is worthy of the gospel? Don't they understand that it is easier to fight and complain than to show up and be vulnerable? When something goes wrong, I would much rather complain about it. Wouldn't you? I think complaining is great. It's so easy. You don't even have to get up. But instead, what if we decided to be vulnerable about it and say, I am unhappy and here is why? What if we decided to face the things that are upsetting, like these two tweets that you heard? I'm going to recommend to you, those of you who are Twitter users and Facebook users and whatever else, Snapchat, that if you choose to look up these things, that you spend no more than 5 minutes of your day looking up the nasty stuff. Can we commit to that? That we won't fall into that hole of putting in the hashtag and reading all the horrible things? Take a peek for 5 minutes and then step away. Because it is easy to get sucked in. It's easy to read that stuff and complain about it and say I'm hurt. It is much harder to step away from it and go and change the world. I know that I am one who easily gets sucked in to the hours and hours in front of my computer reading the nasty things, reading the mean things. But it is easy to turn off the computer. Trust me, it feels really hard, but it is easy. To step out and reach out to the people who are hurting, and we don't know why this person created this chaos in the night. We don't know why this person created this act of what is most likely some kind of terrorism, most definitely a hate crime. But we do know that the answer to that is kindness. The answer to that is that we must grow. And of course, I want us to grow as a church. I want there to be more people here in these seats. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about us growing as individuals, as people who have survived something. You don't have to have been in that club to have survived what happened this morning. The scripture gives this metaphor of lightness and dark, and I think that that is an apt metaphor when you think about this particular tragedy, because picture a nightclub. There's a reason why these places are so dark. There's a reason why the lights are dim, because it is a fantasy world that's not real. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I certainly enjoyed my days in college when I was out dancing. I almost said high school. All right, it was high school. Well, I can only say that because my two who are starting high school aren't here today. It was Kyle, I was 30, really. But, you know, there is fun in that. But there's also a reason why a gay community was created in these dark places where we literally couldn't see each other very well. Because we are a community that was born in a place of shame, and we are now a community that does not live there. Right?
Right.
And there is no judgment on you if you want to go dancing in those dark clubs. But know that the light is there. When we are forced to hide, we cloak ourselves in a dark place where we cannot see. Here, we let the light in, but we let ourselves be seen for who we are. Not perfect people, because we aren't. We let ourselves be seen in our brokenness and in our vulnerability. And that is when the scripture finally makes sense, because God gives us what we need, and that is grace. We offer grace to one another, and that is how our gardens grow. This mystery of how something will sprout, how a plant can thrive before it grows, that is answered in God's grace. When we wake up to devastating news, and we know, I gotta go to church. That is where I need to be this morning. And every single one of you who heard this news before you got here today and knew that you were showing up at church, that you would be okay because you're going to church. That is how we grow. Suddenly it's no longer about a mission. Suddenly it's no longer about numbers and offerings, although that stuff will always continue to be important. But what it's really about is not holiness or looking right. What it's really about is holding each other, holding on to each other in that darkness that surrounds us, and then helping each other see that the light is right there within reach.